Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso. Today we have some sad news about a local firefighter who perished in the Thomas Fire. A fire weather warning is in effect this weekend, so please, listeners, be careful to prevent fires and help save lives. Outrage over power outages across East County is growing. Hear why on today's show. Plus, if you're tired of being left in the dark whenever strong winds are blowing, we'll have news about a program in Alpine teaching you what you should know before buying a generator. The Humane Society is offering free pet adoptions this holiday season, and we'll have details. If you care about parks in Alpine, hear about a meeting coming up seeking public comment. On our Capitol Report, we'll have details on a stunning upset victory in Alabama that has narrowed the Republican balance of power in the U.S. Senate to a razor-thin margin. We'll also have news about a suspected arson fire in Fletcher Hills, as well as information on where Lilac Fire survivors can get some help from the county. On Destination East County, hear about holiday and New Year's festivities and other events coming up across our region. And finally, we'll end our show with a performance of Vivaldi's Gloria by the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra. So stay tuned for the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. A local firefighter has lost his life battling the Thomas Fire on Thursday. Corey Iverson, a 32-year-old CAL FIRE engineer stationed in Dulzura, was a resident of Escondido. He leaves behind a 2-year-old daughter and his wife, Ashley, who is expecting the couple's second daughter in the spring. CAL FIRE and San Diego County Fire Chief Tony Meacham praised Iverson as a great young man, somebody who really loved his job. Iverson had been with CAL FIRE since 2009. He was assigned with a fire engine strike team from CAL FIRE to San Diego to the Thomas Fire, which has burned over 249,000 acres in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. CAL FIRE and the Firefighters Local Union are providing support to his family. Chief Ken Pimlet, director of CAL FIRE, asked the public to please join me in keeping our fallen firefighter and his loved ones in your prayers and all the responders on the front lines in your thoughts as they continue to work under extremely challenging conditions. Governor Jerry Brown ordered flags at the state capitol flown at half-mast in Iverson's honor. The governor stated, "His bravery and years of committed service to the people of California will never be forgotten." Chief Pimlott offered reassurances to residents in the fire-stricken area. "The firefight in front of us continues to go on. The communities we are protecting are depending on us, and we will not fail." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
SDG&E has finally restored power to all customers who were de-energized due to public safety concerns following a week-long red flag warning with strong gusty winds, low humidity, and dangerous fire conditions. The utility first inspected lines for safety before repowering circuits. In the Lilac Fire area, 43 poles damaged by fire will be replaced with fire-resistant steel poles and stronger wires, the utility reports, adding, "We understand that being without power for any reason is an inconvenience, and we appreciate the patience we have received from our customers." But across East County, many residents in rural, mountain, and high desert towns have taken to social media to voice concerns over the prolonged outages. Although SDG&E says it did provide advance notice to 170,000 customers of possible planned outages due to high winds and fire danger before shutting off power to many thousands of homes, many rural residents say that's not enough and they want changes made. Issues raised include lack of communications during outages that lasted a full week in some areas, losses due to food spoilage, spotty welfare checks that miss some with critical medical needs, and fears that if a wildfire had occurred while power was out, they would have been left with no way to pump water to stop fires, and in areas without cell phone service, no means to even learn that a wildfire was encroaching. Judy Salmons posted on the Descanso Neighbors Forum that she's seen two mindsets among backcountry residents. I agree that having power cut is better than having fires spark, as in the 2007 firestorms, when the state concluded that power lines ignited dry bush. I also agree that such a long outage is a hardship for many in a lot of ways. She wants to see SDG&E or the county conduct welfare checks on residents if an outage lasts more than a couple of days. Her concern comes from personal experience, having known a couple who perished in the border fire and were found by community members, not officials, over a week later. Several residents said that they did not receive welfare check calls from the county's in-home support services or from SDG&E, but for others, responses were unsatisfactory. Several residents said they did receive welfare check calls from the county's in-home support services or from SDG&E, but for others, responses were unsatisfactory. Chantel San Nicolas says she called SDG&E after her power was shut off and told them her husband uses a medical machine and a property mate is on oxygen. Thank God the VA has been helping the property mate with oxygen, but the response from SDG&E was, "We will do our best to get service back on when it's safe. No reimbursement will be made." Tina Hawley wrote that the county did do a welfare check at her home due to a medically fragile child with a feeding tube, but that check was not adequate. She asked why we didn't answer our phones Thursday or Friday. Why didn't you send anyone if you couldn't get a hold of us? Her phone lines were also down due to the power outage. Johnny Jensen posted, AT&T landlines were down for part of this, and we don't get cell service at home. Internet access was also unavailable, leaving no way to communicate or receive emergency notices. Karen Noblet McIntyre said Verizon has backup batteries on towers, but AT&T does not, so AT&T cell phones did not work in Morena Village during the outage. Tracy Martino raised a chilling question. What if SDG&E shuts off the East County and a fire starts? The fire hydrants we all installed and hooked up into our water tanks are useless without electricity, even with a generator hooked up to wells. Will they last long enough for the firemen to get all the water they need to put out the fire? There has to be a better solution. Some were left without heat if they relied on electric space heaters or portable electric heaters. Temperatures dipped into the 40s in some mountain and rural towns during the midwinter outage. Residents also rely on electric well pumps to provide drinking water for people and livestock. Those without generators, which can be costly for low-income residents, were left with no way to supply water for horses, chickens, and other animals absent help from neighbors. Potrero resident Jan Hedlund, also an elected member of the Potrero County Planning Group, told EC that during intentional outages of more than several hours, she believes water trucks should be brought into impacted areas to assure that residents and animals have water. It should be mandatory if they are going to deprive us of service. SDG&E did bring trucks with water bottles and mobile charging stations for cell phones and other devices to several communities during the outage, but with power out, many residents did not get notification of this option, and it was only available in a limited number of locations. Jennifer Rain Miller posted, I don't think the folks that were shut off for one day or even two quite grasp the dire life-threatening situation a week or longer puts you in. She observed that alarm systems don't work without electricity. If dirtbags know your power is off, security systems don't work, and many phones don't work either. Shut off generator at night, get robbed or worse, can't even call for help. Julie Salmons offered a partial fix for that issue, noting, our security alarm has a backup battery. Some residents stocked up on ice and dry ice to try and preserve foods, which can work in short-term outages, but others suffered large financial losses as the outage dragged on for many days. David Vickander posted that he lost a freezer filled with homegrown beef as well as grocery items, but he has no receipts to prove the losses. Salmon suggested he provide SDG&E a receipt for the animal he bought and the feed cost to raise it. Vickander indicated he's taken pictures of the spoiled beef and hopes his loss claim with SDG&E will be paid. Customers who had losses due to the intentional outages can submit claims to SDG&E by calling 1-800-411-SDG&E and receive a claim number. Claims will take 30 to 45 days to process in most cases, the utility has indicated. Susan Jacobs voiced fears that SDG&E might reject responsibility for the intentional outages due to high winds. Jill Michaels called for a town hall meeting with the supervisor to discuss concerns. Another beef voiced by residents was the lack of Red Cross emergency shelters. Only one was open in East County for those with power outages. A center in El Cajon that was more than an hour away from many impacted areas and not accessible at all on one day when I-8 was shut down to east of Alpine due to high winds. Nancy Bauer Satellante wrote on Facebook that she wanted to see a Red Cross emergency center in the rural area so people can have a hot meal, etc. Having this many people without power, there needs to be more than one Red Cross shelter, she wrote. Not everyone can get to El Cajon. The need is out here in the backcountry. Some also wanted to know why repairs to equipment in rural areas, some slated months ago, were delayed until the storm was due to hit. Others asked why the power restoration time kept changing in some areas, being posted for days on end. Extension of a red flag warning may account for the latter, as well as repair crews diverted to fix down lines in the Lilac Fire evacuation area in North County. Some rural and mountain towns in East County helped each other. Bob Horn of Sherrilton Valley wrote on the fifth day of the outage to thank a neighbor who stopped by to check up on him. Everybody in the valley is looking out for each other, but another neighbor posted that fear of approaching dark homes and having guns pointed at one might dissuade some from reaching out to neighbors. A major concern voiced by many was the recent increase in the frequency and duration of outages, something many have suggested could be tied to a decision earlier this month by the California Public Utilities Commission, which held that SDG&E cannot charge ratepayers for its uninsured losses from the 2007 firestorms. SDG&E has long denied that its equipment caused fires, blaming high winds and other factors. But the CPUC found that the utility failed to operate its equipment safely, and CAL FIRE found that the lines did cause three fires. CPUC regulations allow utility to shut off power when winds exceed capacity for which the systems were designed, leading some to ask why SDG&E doesn't design systems in windy areas to withstand more severe conditions, rather than repeatedly inconvenience and arguably endanger residents. Sustained power outages such as we are seeing have not happened before this year, wrote Maggie Levitt. She posted that her community has had 10 outages since September 30th. Will they be turning off the power every time the wind blows? Summer, winter, fall, spring? The frustrated rural resident asked. Katie Perkins Taylor suggested setting up a meeting or class for residents to learn how to be better prepared for when the next outage occurs, a suggestion that met with approval from several others. Some invested in emergency generators, battery or crank-operated radios, or had gone solar and off-grid to weather such emergencies. Many more are now considering the latter as a permanent solution. I'm seriously looking into sending SDG&E a Dear John letter and going off-grid, Miller concludes. I think the situation they've created will push more people into alternative energy sources more than ever. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
With SDG&E turning off power repeatedly during high winds, having an automatic standby generator can keep your lights on and keep critical systems such as well pumps, refrigerators, and computers operating during outages. On Wednesday, December 20th at 5 p.m., a presentation on generators will be held at the Alpine Library. You can learn about the different types of generators, such as propane versus gas operated, and features to consider, such as a commercial-grade engine, non-corrosive enclosure, and extended warranty. You should always consult with a professional before purchasing or installing a generator to assure that permits are obtained, installation is done safely, and you were advised how to operate and maintain your generator. Ed Del Grande, a nationally syndicated home improvement expert, says a standby generator is like having your own personal power plant in your backyard. When the power shuts off from the utility, a standby generator automatically turns on, generally within 10 seconds, and can power all the major systems and appliances in your home. Camps Propane, a local business, is helping organize the event. For more information, you can call Camps Propane at 619-390-6304.
This is Valerie Watts with some good news for listeners who would like to adopt a pet this holiday season. Hundreds of homeless animals at the San Diego Humane Society are in need of homes, so for the 10 days before Christmas, December 15th through 24th, pet adoption fees will be waived for all animals at the Humane Society's facilities. The gift of free pets is made possible by donations from local realtor Sharon Blanchett and attorneys Phil and Pam Reed. Gifting a pet can actually be a mutually beneficial opportunity this holiday season. The best way is to involve the adoptive pet's family and pet parent-to-be in the selection. Every animal adopted from San Diego Humane Society is spayed or neutered, current on all vaccinations, and microchipped. Each pet is sent home with a certificate for a free veterinary exam, 30 days of pet insurance, and a bag of dog or cat food. The San Diego Humane Society's adoption hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., 7 days a week, at the San Diego campus located at 5500 Gaines Street, as well as at centers in Escondido and Oceanside. Animals that are awaiting adoption can be found on the organization's website at sdhumane.org. If you think there should be more county parks in Alpine or have ideas on what future parks should include, you're invited to an open house at the Alpine Library on December 18th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. There you can provide input to the San Diego Department of Parks and Recreation for the future development of parks in the Alpine community. Everyone is welcome. For more information, visit sdparks.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Valerie Watts.
This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
This is Meridian Broaddus with the Capitol Report. By a slim 1.5% margin, Democrat Doug Jones, a prosecutor, has won Alabama's U.S. Senate seat over Roy Moore, a former Alabama Supreme Court justice. All major networks have called the election for Moore, though Moore has refused to concede and has suggested he may seek a recount. Moore's race was marred by allegations from numerous women who claimed sexual improprieties, including alleged sexual assault of a 14-year-old when he was in his 30s. Moore has denied the allegations. The victory means Republicans will have only a 51-49 majority in the U.S. Senate after Jones is sworn in. If a single Republican senator votes with Democrats or is absent, Republicans could only pass bills by having Vice President Mike Pence cast a deciding vote. If two members defect or are absent, key actions such as legislation or judicial appointments could be blocked. Moore was previously removed as a justice for refusing a federal order to remove a Ten Commandments monument in the courthouse. He was reelected and encouraged other judges to defy a same-sex marriage ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court, but later resigned. Moore also once stated that abolishing all amendments after the Tenth Amendment to the Constitution would eliminate many problems. Eliminating amendments after the Tenth would mean losing the rights of women to vote, the rights of African Americans to vote, citizen rights for African Americans, and other key protections for citizens enshrined in the Constitution. Moore's controversies include ties to racist groups. When asked to name a time when America was great, Moore gave a racially charged reply stating, "I think it was great at the time when families were united. Even though we had slavery, they cared for one another." Heavy turnout among African Americans helped deliver the election for Jones. 98% of African American women and 96% of African American males voted for Jones. Jones, a federal prosecutor, best known for prosecuting Ku Klux Klan members who, in 1963, killed four African American little girls in a Birmingham church bombing. The victory comes as a rebuke of President Donald Trump, who endorsed and campaigned for Moore. Some other prominent Republicans distanced themselves from Moore, including Alabama's other Republican senator, who said he cast his vote for an independent candidate, and Arizona Republican Senator Jeff Flakes, who endorsed and gave money to Jones. Democrats, encouraged by the outcome, are hopeful of reclaiming control of the Senate and possibly the House of Representatives in next year's November 2018 midterm elections. Whether the victory by a Democrat in deep red Alabama is a mere anomaly due to the controversies swirling around his opponent, or whether it reflects a rejection of political extremism that could extend to other regions, however, remains to be seen.
Arson is suspected in a fire started Thursday night on a hillside near Fletcher Hills Presbyterian Church in El Cajon. A witness reported seeing a thin, white male wearing a red hoodie light the fire, then take off running. The suspect remains at large. Heartland Fire and Rescue crews from La Mesa and El Cajon responded, swiftly dousing the blaze. Jim Hancock, a church elder who lives at the base of the hill, says he ran up with keys in case the fire department needed to get into the building. Fortunately, we have quick neighbors who called 911 immediately, and the firemen were very quick to put out the vegetation fire before it got to one of the church buildings, he posted on Mount Helix Next Door Forum, adding, truly hope they catch the arsonist. Several other neighbors posted that they were awakened by the sound of emergency sirens, frightened to see smoke and flames close to their homes while the lilac fire was raging in North County. Corey Smith wrote, someone put my family, neighbors, and community in danger, adding, attempted arson on a church is a big deal during a red flag warning with several fires in the county is nothing short of domestic terrorism. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is John Fistier with information on help available for those who lost homes in the Lilac Fire. The County Board of Supervisors has adopted a resolution to waive permit fees for those who lost their homes in the Lilac Fire. The resolution means fire victims who plan to rebuild their homes or other damaged structures won't have to pay plan check fees for rebuilding structures damaged or destroyed in the unincorporated area or other areas where county approvals are required. Property tax relief is also available. Residents with damaged property can get their property reassessed, and the reduced value will remain in effect until the property is rebuilt or repaired. The fire has burned 4,100 acres and destroyed 184 structures. Monday, the county opened a local assistance center for fire victims at the Vista Branch Library, and a number of county departments and local agencies are on hand to help victims through the recovery and rebuilding process. Those who live in the unincorporated area may also call the Recovery Assistance Hotline at 858-495-5200. That's 858-495-5200. Residents who live in incorporated areas should contact their city for assistance.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is the time of year when we appreciate the family and friends who make our lives better. We count our great moments and want to give back. KNSJ has been here for you all year with programming you've come to depend on. We've informed and entertained you. Our programming makes your life better. On December 29th and 30th, we will all come together for Give Big to My Station to support KNSJ. This is a nationwide giving day that supports KNSJ while helping raise awareness about community radio and its role in our culture and democracy. If you want to learn more, just visit mystation.givebig.org to see how it works. You can schedule a donation now by looking up KNSJ in the search box to get to our station page, or tune in on December 29th and 30th as we do our part for Give Big to My Station. When you donate to KNSJ through Give Big to My Station, your donation comes straight here to KNSJ to support the work we do all year round. That's mystation.givebig.org, and we hope you will join us on December 29th and 30th as we celebrate community radio and raise funds for KNSJ.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Valerie Watts
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County includes the North Pole Limited Train Rides with Santa, the Ramona Holiday Wine Trail, a Christmas Cabaret in La Mesa, Reindeer at Grossmont Center, a Christmas Carol in Julian, Tony Orlando at Saquon, and a big band holiday concert in El Cajon.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including New Year's Eve parties at Viejas and in Jamul, Sinatra and Friends at Borrego Performing Arts, and Carnival Fantastique in Saquon.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
The Pacific Southwest Railway Museum in Campo invites you to take a ride on board the North Pole Limited, a special holiday train ride departing Fridays and Saturdays through December 23rd at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Once you're on board, Santa's elves will sing Christmas carols, read a popular Christmas story to children, and pass out cookies and hot chocolate to all passengers. The train will stop at Santa's workshop to pick up Santa and Mrs. Claus. Advance reservations are recommended through the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum website at psrm.org.
Participating wineries from the Ramona Valley Vineyard Association are featuring a holiday in the country when you follow the Ramona Wine Trail, continuing this weekend, December 16th and 17th. Wine fans can visit 14 wineries decked out for the holidays. In addition to discounted tastings, individual wineries are presenting their own selected special holiday happenings, such as Santa in a Wine Cave, holiday music, and crafters goods for holiday shopping. You can get your holiday wine trail passport at RamonaValleyVineyards.com.
Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa invites you to get in the holiday spirit at a Christmas cabaret showing that continues through December 17th. Lamplighters presents an uplifting showcase of local talent performing seasonal favorites. For tickets and details, visit LamplightersLaMesa.com.
As Santa's Christmas Eve sleigh ride approaches, you can bring children to take photos and feed a live reindeer at Grossmont Center in La Mesa this Sunday afternoon, December 17th, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Graham crackers will be available to feed the reindeer while supplies last. The reindeer will be located in the center court. For more information, you can visit GrossmontCenter.com.
Julian Theater Company will present Charles Dickens' holiday classic, A Christmas Carol. This timeless tale focuses on the miserly Ebenezer Scrooge as he is visited by the spirits of Christmas past, present, and future. Performances will be held at Julian Town Hall on December 15th and 16th. For tickets and details, visit JulianTheaterCompany.com.
The Gaslamp Quarter Jazz Orchestra will present a free concert on Sunday, December 17th at 4 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in El Cajon. The program includes a medley of Christmas music. For more information, visit firstpres-elcajon.org.
Singer Tony Orlando will be live in concert at Sequan on December 17th and 18th. His career began at age 16 with his first hit song, Halfway to Paradise. His band, Tony Orlando and Don, had several major hits in the 1970s, including Candida, Knock Three Times, and Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree, as well as the Tony Orlando and Don show on TV. For tickets, visit sequan.com.
You're invited to clap and dance with Celia Lawler. The fiddling and clogging singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist will be performing holiday concerts at Parkway Plaza Shopping Mall in El Cajon on Saturday, December 16th and 23rd from 2 to 4 p.m. in the Macy's Court. For more information, visit shoppingparkwayplaza.com. Now for a preview of coming attractions.
East County's biggest New Year's festivities happen at the Viejas Resort and Casino. On New Year's Eve, December 31st, you're invited to ring in the new year at one of two celebrations. An outdoor bash in the park starting at 8 p.m. features a ball drop and fireworks at midnight, live entertainment by Rising Star, food and drinks available for purchase. Or opt for an elegant evening in the Oak Ballroom starting at 8 p.m. with live music, dancing, gourmet dining until 10 p.m., drinks, and the signature ball drop at midnight. For tickets and details on these New Year's celebrations, visit Viejas.com and click on the Entertainment tab.
Hollywood Casino in Jamul is hosting several New Year's Eve activities. You can party like a rock star at the Loft 94 Beer Garden or in the Jive Lounge, where live entertainment by Funk's Most Wanted and Pop Vinyl will be provided. Or you can opt for an upscale New Year's Eve dinner at the Final Cut Steakhouse. For reservations and details, you can visit HollywoodCasinoJamul.com/NYE2018.
Sinatra and Friends pays tribute to the man and his music, featuring countless songs synonymous with Frank Sinatra, as well as many other memorable favorites people have come to love. The performance will be staged at the Borrego Springs Performing Arts Center on Saturday, January 6th, with performances at 7:30 and 9 p.m. For tickets, you can visit bspac.us.
Carnival Fantastique will bring performers from around the world to Sequan on January 7th in a celebration of music and action that combines gravity-defying acrobatics, contortionists, jugglers, comedy, beautiful dancers, and dynamic laser special effects. You can find tickets at sequan.com.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor Destination East County's column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our news site.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County!
And for the second half of our show this holiday season, we hope you'll enjoy Vivaldi's Gloria, performed by the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.